From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled The Restoration of Israel, an exposition of chapter 11. Because of its idolatry and apostasy, God rejected Israel. The nation's constant disobedience to the warnings of God's prophets resulted in captivity and the dispersion of the people across the world. Yet God had made a covenant with Israel through Abraham, and he would keep that promise. In the 11th chapter of Romans, Paul proves that God's rejection of Israel was neither final nor total. God's purpose of grace will be fulfilled. Indeed, Israel's rejection of Christ resulted in the gospel being spread to all the world. Dr. Cairns will remind us that Christians must not be guilty of anti-Semitism, for God intends to bring Israel into the blessings of the gospel. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 6. Oil for the light. My soul, how much thou needest this, for thy lamp will not long continue to burn without it. Thy snuff will smoke and become an offense if light be gone, and gone it will be if oil be absent. Thou hast no oil well springing up in thy human nature, and therefore thou must go to them that sell and buy for thyself. Or, like the foolish virgins, thou wilt have to cry, My lamp is gone out. Even the consecrated lamps could not give light without oil. Though they shone in the tabernacle, they needed to be fed. Though no rough winds blew upon them, they required to be trimmed. And thy need is equally as great. Under the most happy circumstances, thou canst not give light for another hour, unless fresh oil of grace be given thee. It was not every oil that might be used in the Lord's service. Neither the petroleum which exudes so plentifully from the earth, nor the produce of fishes, nor that extracted from nuts would be accepted. One oil only was selected, and that was the best olive oil. Pretended grace from natural goodness, fancied grace from priestly hands, or imaginary grace from outward ceremonies will never serve the true saint of God. He knows that the Lord would not be pleased with rivers of such oil. He goes to the olive press of Gethsemane, and draws his supplies from him who was crushed therein. The oil of gospel grace is pure and free from lees and dregs, and hence the light which is fed thereon is clear and bright. Our churches are the Savior's golden candelabra, and if they are to be lights in this dark world, they must have much holy oil. Let us pray for ourselves, our ministers, and our churches, that they may never lack oil for the light. Truth, holiness, joy, knowledge, love, these are all beams of that sacred light, but we cannot give them forth unless in private we receive oil from God the Holy Ghost.
Ooh.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts continues to be most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. Remember that any literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Paul is contrasting the effect of one thing versus the effect of another on the world. And he's saying the effect of the fall of the Jews has been really spiritually a tremendous benefit to the world. Now, if their fall has produced such a benefit, What will their receiving be like? If their emptiness, their diminishing, if their emptiness has brought such blessing, what will their fullness be like? It will be like life from the dead. What a wonderful statement that is. There is a day coming when spiritual fullness will run through this world like a great Amazon river in full spate, covering the earth, that it will make every spiritual movement in the history of the church seem like a time of deadness, where this is a time of life. That's what Paul is saying. So the rejection of Israel is not only not total, but neither is it final. Now, from her rejection, we move to her regrafting, verses 16 through 24. And it's a vitally important passage from many points of view. Under the figure of a single olive tree, it describes the one united church of God in all ages. And I want you to notice this, both Old Testament and New Testament. By the roots and the first fruits, the apostle means Abraham and the patriarchs. And they are called holy, or separated unto God. By the lump and the branches, Paul means the nation of Israel. And he says, if the root and the first fruits were holy and separated unto God, then so are the other branches. So is the nation of Israel, the natural branches. National Israel have, of course, been cut off. Now we find that the branches of a wild olive tree, namely the Gentiles, have been grafted in to that stock from the root of Abraham and the Old Testament saints. We have been grafted in. I want you to get a picture of the church here. Didn't start at Pentecost. The root goes right back to Abraham. Now, that's not to say that there was nobody saved before Abraham. It's now talking about the organization of a people upon the earth. And he's saying, here is this olive tree. The root is Abraham. The first fruits, Abraham and the patriarchs. Out of that have grown various branches. The branches of Israel have largely been cut off, and we have been grafted in to that common stock. I want you to notice this. This is the one indivisible, united church of God from both Old and New Testament. There are differences between the Testaments. Dispensationalism is not all wrong. There is a distinction to be made. And as I will make clear before I'm finished tonight, there are promises to Israel that belong to Israel and must not be stolen from her by any hermeneutical scheme. But there is a fundamental continuity between the old and the new. Now, Paul, in verses 17 and 18, deals with a subject that I would love to have time to deal with rather more fully. I would like to go on a rant and a rage about this, to be quite honest. This is something I feel very strongly about. In verses 17 and 18, he's saying the fact that Israel has been cut off and we have now been brought in is not a cause for Gentile Christians to boast against Israel. Now let me make the statement. Christianity is never anti-Semitic. And anti-Semitism is never Christian. Let me make that absolutely clear. And I need to make it clear, because we have all sorts of cooks and nutcases, forgive the vernacular, running around, parading the image of the cross. And all they are doing is perverting the gospel and the name of our Savior to a purpose that was born in hell and has the stench of the pit about it. There's nothing new about anti-Semitism. You find that Jews were murdered in Russia because those so-called Orthodox Christians who were far more ungodly, Christ-rejecting and heathen than the worst of the Jews ever were. Because those so-called Orthodox Christians had come to the conclusion that the Jews were Christ killers, and therefore they were open to all the scorn and the opprobrium and the violence that these ungodly rascals could heap upon them. Paul is saying, if you have been ever grafted into Christ, you do not boast against the branches that were cut off. You do not become anti-Semitic. Now, I do not have time to deal with anti-Semitism any further tonight, but you beware of it. Somehow or other you find it rearing its filthy head among what is called right-wing Christianity. I don't like these terms of political parties getting attached to the cause of Christ. I don't care what wing it is. It's strange that the Nazis were violently anti-Jewish and the communists were violently anti-Jewish. So it doesn't seem to me to make an awful lot of difference what wing the killing comes from. It's still hellish in its conception and in its operation. But I want you to understand, it's never Christian. It is never Christian. Paul says you don't boast against them. Actually, the cutting off of the Jews as a nation from the benefits of God's mighty saving grace should be a warning to us all. Verses 20 and 21. It's important that you do not try to apply these verses individually. That has led to a great deal of needless concern. This is not dealing with an individual Christian being in Christ and cut out of Christ. This is dealing with groups, with nations, with great entities that have, like the Jewish nation, have been blessed by being brought into the economy of what we will call the church. It says, as Israel was cut off and lost those benefits, so may other nations. Is that not what's happening in America tonight? Is that not what's happening all across Western Europe? You look at one country after another, mightily blessed of God. You would say there was a time when they were in covenant with God and they were vehicles of the mighty movings of God. It's not to say that the nations were all saved as to the individuals, but it is to say that you had a time when the British nation and the American nation were self-consciously proclaiming themselves to be Christian nations. Where are they tonight? I fear that we are living to see the fulfillment of this awful warning. Beware that you're not cut off as well. And I think we are in that place that we have now but that small remnant. Listen, let me tell you, and this is another subject I have no time to do anything but mention. Let me tell you, if you want bigness, be prepared to go apostate. Oh, I believe there is a day coming before Jesus returns when there will be a mighty sweeping movement of the Holy Ghost sweeping millions into the kingdom. Revelation 7 seems to me to make that abundantly clear. But I also find that in those days and in the days before it, the testimony of Christ will be a remnant testimony. When the great churches have become apostate, they have become daughters of the harlot, to use the words of Revelation chapter 17. Apostasy sweeping the earth. Humanism just keeping enough of the name and the terminology of Christianity to fool the people. If you want bigness, you'll go apostate. There's a day, and I believe it's upon us, when it is the remnant testimony outside the camp, being willing, no matter what the cost may be, to be noted as Christ's and stand for God. That day is upon us. We're living to see the fulfillment of the warning of verse 20 and 21. What Paul is saying is that just as the Gentiles, by following Israel into unbelief, may be cut off, so Israel, by following the Gentiles into faith in Christ, may yet be regrafted into their own olive tree, as he says in verses 22 through 24. This is the future for Israel, ultimately. And of course, I'm leaving out a lot of things in between. I'm deliberately not getting into a detailed scheme of prophecy. But ultimately, Israel is to be brought into the blessings of the gospel. And this again is something you've got to remember. Her future is a gospel future. It is to be brought into the blessings of the gospel, regrafted right into the one olive tree to be justified by faith in Christ. That leads to the final section, verse 25 to 32, and Israel's restoration. Now, currently, only a small remnant of Jews believe. But in the restoration, verse 26, all Israel shall be saved. I don't think that that is saying that every single Jew, whoever will live from that time on, will be saved. It may. God can do any size of a miracle he wishes. I verily would rejoice in that. But certainly it does mean that national Israel will be a saved nation. As Isaiah puts it in chapter 45, verse 25, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now this is the restoration. Let me point out the time of this restoration, for this is interesting. Verse 25, it's after the fullness of the Gentiles. Now what is the fullness of the Gentiles? Some people, post-millennialists, say that it means the same here as it means up in verse 12, where we have the fullness of Israel. It's talking about their spiritual fullness. When the Gentile nations have been fully converted, then the result will be they will evangelize the Jews, and the Jews will be saved in great numbers. There's a big difficulty with that, because immediately we are told that the fullness of Israel is going to have such an effect upon the Gentiles that it will be like life from the dead. But if the Gentiles have already been spiritually full, how can you be fuller than full? Doesn't make a lot of sense. There are others like Lenski and some of his amillennial friends who translate, or should I say interpret this as saying that the Jews as a nation will remain in unbelief right until the end. They'll be in hardness until the very last Gentile has been brought into Christ. The last sinner has been saved, and so all Israel, all the elect, will be saved. For the same reasons as I gave above, I don't think that cuts any ice. For my part, I believe that this fullness is another way of making the same statement that Jesus made in Matthew 24, verse 24. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is the penetration fully of the nations with the gospel. And that's what leads up to the second coming of Christ. And it's interesting to me that in verse 26, the restoration of Israel happens when the deliverer comes out of Zion, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.